Hi, friend. Welcome back to the show. In this week's episode, I'm talking about how to get to the root of the self-abandonment that's at the heart of masking and people-pleasing that makes us emotionally and physically sick. We know it's a problem, but how do we actually start creating change and enough safety within ourselves to be seen and show up authentically in our lives? Last week, I talked about the connection between people-pleasing and autoimmune conditions in women, and this week, I'm diving deeper into how we actually shift this. If you're curious to learn more about this, you're in the right spot. You're listening to the Reframing Neurodiversity Podcast, and I am your host, Melissa Jackson. I help women with ADHD get to the root of their suffering so they may begin healing and passing a new way down to their kids. I believe that by supporting women, we support and heal our kids too. Let's dive into it. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the show. I'm super excited to be hanging out today and chatting with you. I wanted to continue the conversation. If you missed last week's episode on the podcast, it was episode number 36 about people-pleasing and its connection to physical ailments and autoimmune diseases. And I wanted to dive a little deeper into this because I've gotten a lot of feedback. People are super interested in this, and it's really resonating with a lot of women, which makes sense since 80% of the people who are diagnosed with autoimmune conditions are women. So if you didn't listen to that episode, I'm basically talking about how Dr. Gabor Mate really makes this connection between self-abandonment, also can look like people-pleasing, to this connection with development of autoimmune disease. And I want to get really like under the surface of this conversation and understanding why this happens, and not only why this happens, but what we can do to shift it, right? Because it's one thing to understand that this is a problem, right? This is a predicament. This is something that's happening. And then I think the next question is, so how do we heal that, right? How do we actually create change in our lives and our bodies to stop this pattern that we're unconsciously perpetuating? So to begin, I want to really talk about what is people-pleasing. So people-pleasing is essentially a coping mechanism we develop in order to create attachment with others. Now, oftentimes this starts in childhood. It can develop in dynamics with parents, with teachers, with friends, where we're wanting to feel loved, accepted, validated, and perhaps being our authentic selves is risky. That might jeopardize the connection with our caregivers or people we love in our lives. So we develop these masks, these coping mechanisms, these ways of altering who we are to be more palatable, accepted, and more comfortable for others around us. And it's not conscious. It's a survival technique. And it serves a purpose when we're young. But as we get older, we outgrow these tendencies and we start to realize these things can actually make us sick and create a lot of suffering because we're disconnected from ourselves. You know, the payoff of that attachment comes with the cost of our own authenticity. And Dr. Gabor Mate says that suffering comes when we are not our true selves. And so we're suffering because basically we're disconnected from who we authentically are. So the real goal here is to connect with the truth of what it means to be us. And that can feel very scary and it can feel very jarring to our nervous system. And so it's why we stay stuck and looping in cycles that just don't work for us. And so I want to talk to you guys today about one of the things that we can do to begin to make this shift, to begin healing this relationship with ourselves, to step into a more authentic way of being in our lives so that we can then start to feel better, not only emotionally and mentally, but physically. So one of the essential building blocks is going to be setting boundaries, you guys. It's not just setting boundaries with other people, but also setting boundaries with yourself. And if you grew up in a home where setting healthy boundaries or expressing healthy anger was seen as aggressive or mean or wrong or bad, this is going to feel very counterintuitive and uncomfortable. So we're going to start really small and gently whenever we do anything with getting our nervous system comfortable with something different, we want to start really, really, really small with a lot of self-compassion and not try to jump into these big changes, but to really ease into things. Because boundaries are really a way of teaching others how to treat us. But it starts with how we treat ourselves first, right? So it might start with some internal boundaries, with the mindsets that we have, the thoughts that we think, the limiting beliefs that are running on autopilot that are keeping us stuck and self-doubting and playing small and not speaking up and people-pleasing in order to keep that friend, that parent, that colleague happy. It's tapping into when we can feel we're betraying ourselves, or maybe our thought, our idea, what we want to do, how we want to show up, and just starting to get curious about what feels like the true you, what feels like the aligned way for you to show up, what feels good and calming to your nervous system is the answer to that question. And so it's going to take some internal self-reflection and curiosity to get curious about these things about ourselves. And then the next step is to actually listen to those moments, to feel into and choose the thought that feels better to your body. Choose the action that feels more calming to your system. Choose to spend time with the people that make you feel good. And really paying attention to how you feel in all of these dynamics is one of the very first places to start. And then it's going to be shifting this narrative, you guys, around boundaries as a bad thing, boundaries as a negative, boundaries as harsh, to boundaries as a loving gesture. It's an act of self-love towards yourself, and it's loving towards the people that you want to create closer connection with. I'll tell you, in my own life, some of the people now, because I've been through quite a journey in the last 5 years of really connecting with my authentic self as I moved through this phase in life of really shedding a lot of relationships and things in my life that just weren't working and weren't me, that were based on the people pleaser part of me. The people I will tell you that I am closest to now are the people that I have had those hard conversations with. The people where I, even if my voice was shaking, even if my body was completely dysregulated and I had to pull out my strategies to self-regulate just to get through initiating a conversation, the people that I was able to have those hard conversations with to really stay in alignment with what was true and right for me and speak it out loud, the people that I had these moments with, these really hard, uncomfortable moments with, and they were able to hold space for that version of me, are the people that are still in my life, are the people that I'm closest to. And there's this deep love and connection and understanding because I've been able to express who I really am. I've been able to show what I truly think, what I truly believe. And I had to do that from a place of prioritizing my authenticity over the connection, right? I had to be willing to be like, my connection with myself is the primary goal here. So if this person cannot hold space and isn't a match for the real me, then that means that that's okay, right? That this relationship can fall away. I'm unattached to it staying because what is the primary concern is my connection, my attachment to myself, to having my own back. Like that trumps everything. And so then when I started leading my life in that way, where it was like, okay, I can feel this feels off. I can feel I need to say something. This is super uncomfortable. I know how to play the game to keep the peace. And it was this choice of, no, that is actually self-abandonment. That's actually what's making my body physically sick, is because I'm not choosing me and I'm choosing to make others happy instead of myself. That shift in like, I don't do that anymore, that's a boundary within me because I have my own back and creating the secure attachment and connection with myself, my authentic self, is my number one goal. And anything that falls away is not meant for me. And I trust that. And I trust the process. That's when my body began to heal. You guys, I'm telling you, it's everything. Not only emotionally, not only physically, but in my self-confidence, in my belief in myself, in feeling more empowered, and then attracting relationships, situations, dynamics that were aligned with who I really am, which then again just feels better. It alleviates the suffering. I'm telling you, authenticity is at the root of everything, because at the end of the day, we're all designed to be here doing life in our own unique way. And the problem is we've gotten these messages along the way and all of this conditioning that there's this other box we're supposed to be in. And so we take on all the cues, and especially being highly sensitive, we really take on all the cues of like, oh, got it. Not like that, like that. Okay, be more like that. Okay, say that. Don't say that. Act like this. Wear that. Go to this. Don't go to that. Like, get all of that is this external driver rather than an internal knowing of what is right for you, because you're tuned in with who you are. And that disconnection of knowing who you are because it was unsafe to be who we were in childhood is at the root. So if you think about it as kids, if we had to choose between attachment and authenticity, and we choose attachment every time, right? Because it's survival. We need that attachment to adults when we're children. Now, as adults, where we get to show up, reparent, be that adult for ourselves, we have the opportunity to choose authenticity, which is scary because it means some of our relationships are going to fall away. And I'm not going to lie, they will. Because a lot of times we've built friendships, we've built dynamics with people, even family members, in a certain role, in a certain way, and people get used to that. They like that version of you. That's what's comfortable. That's what's expected. And so when you start shifting that up and start changing or showing up in a different way, not everyone's going to like that. And so that's where the internal work comes in, where it's learning to be okay with that. Not everyone is going to like that. Not everyone is going to stick around. Not everyone's going to be a fit. But you know what? When we start stepping into what is a fit, what is us, we open up space for the people who actually are a match for us, who actually are going to love the real us, the authentic version of us. But if we're hiding all of that in an effort to be more palatable and likable, the people that actually are going to feel so good to have in our lives because we can be ourselves are not going to be able to find us, because we're not showing anyone who we are. So we're kind of staying stuck. It's this like self-preservation thing that's making us emotionally and physically sick. And we're just looping in it, right? And so it's really taking this step, having the courage to step off of that hamster wheel that's just giving us the same results over and over again, and showing our nervous system that a new way that is unfamiliar is safe. It is safe to trust ourselves. It's safe to lean into what actually feels like a yes, even if it disappoints people. You know, we are not responsible for everybody else around us' experience or feelings. Like, we are adults. As adults, we are all responsible for our own experience. And yes, of course, we want to be kind and compassionate. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, as people pleasers, we've often taken on feeling responsible for everybody else's experiences, which is why we self-abandon and then our bodies begin to suffer. So it's this mental shift, you guys. It's like, from boundaries are not mean and aggressive. Boundaries are loving. They give people a chance to get close to you because it gives people a chance to actually know you. You know, so often I think when we grow up in situations where we weren't loved for who we truly are, we work really, really hard to be likable. And the problem is, when we're doing this, it's impossible for people to really love us and the true us because they don't know us, you know? And oftentimes we don't even know us. And so the work that I've really been diving into deeply in the last few years and supporting other women with is really getting to the root of, what is the real you? How does it feel to step into that version of you with yourself first? And then just taking that baby step, you know, out to one or two people in your lives and finding that safety. Perhaps it's with a trusted friend. Perhaps it's with a family member. Perhaps it's even with one of your kids. starting to show up in that way that actually feels like you with just one or two people. And then it allows our nervous system to get acclimated to that this is safe, right? And then we can slowly start bridging out to more and more and more people. And what it's going to do, it's going to build that capacity within our nervous system to feel safe to be seen for who we truly are, which is such a deep wound for so, so many of us, is this fear of being seen for who we are. And it makes sense, because being seen for who we are when we were little might have meant we get rejected, we get abandoned. You know, we lose that friendship, our parents are mad at us, we're in trouble. It's this like fear of death on a subconscious level, because we need these attachments. But as adults, we now get to realize that we don't actually need those attachments to survive, that we can be authentic. And when we're authentic, the right people are going to not only stick around, but be drawn to us. And we get to start to heal ourselves from the inside out, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And then as women, if we have children, we're modeling for our kids that it's safe for them to be authentic, right? It's safe for them to disappoint us. It's safe for them to be different from us. And as a mom, that is one of the greatest gifts I think we can give our children, is to just love them and for exactly who they are. Not the kid we thought we wanted, or how we think they should be, or how society tells us is the right good way to be, but truly just loving authentically the person in front of you and giving that kid permission and safety to be whatever they are. And when we do that, we're truly shifting cycles and passing a new way down in our families. But it starts with us, right? We can't show up and give that to our kids if we're stuck in chronic people-pleasing and masking and being afraid to be seen and conforming to please others and taking on everybody else's emotional feelings as your responsibility. And so this is why I always say, you guys, that moms are the root, is because we have to do this work internally for ourselves, create the safety within us to shift. And then it just becomes natural to shift in how we show up for our kids. And then it gives them permission to show up for themselves in this way. And this is how we truly begin to heal and change these things. And so if you're interested in taking these baby steps in starting to heal your people-pleasing and starting to find safety in your body to show up authentically and starting to get curious about what is a real yes and what is a real no and how to lean into that, you're going to want to join the community over on Substack, where I'll set you up with a system where you can determine exactly where you're at in your nervous system right now. And I'll provide you with guided tools in order to self-regulate based on your nervous system state. And also there'll be opportunity to connect and dive deeper on topics like this with me and other women. So that is a great first step. I'm also going to drop my quiz, which you can take below, you guys, which essentially in like three questions can determine what state of your nervous system that you're in, and we'll provide you with a tool to support you there to start just taking these first steps to getting curious, because it sounds so simple, like just be authentic and then you can heal your mind, body, and soul. But it's hard. It's really hard when we've been conditioned for so long to be a certain way. And then when we don't feel good, when we're dysregulated or we're physically sick, it's even harder. And so having the support and these tools to get started is everything. And then just knowing that it's a journey, right? That we have to be patient with it. We have to appreciate the process of coming home to ourselves, because it's not going to happen overnight. It's a journey I've been on for probably 10 years that's taken different shapes. But I can tell you guys, one foot in front of the other, it is 110% so worth it. And it will truly shift the way you feel in all the ways, in the way you show up for yourself, for your kids, and every relationship. And I'm just so passionate about this topic because I know it works and I know it's at the heart of our healing. So if you're interested in learning more about this, check out the show notes for the links. I am here for you. Talk soon. Thank you so much for joining me. If you like this podcast, please be sure to rate, subscribe, and share it with a friend who might need it. And if you're curious to discover where you're at in your nervous system right now and would like tools to support yourself in whatever state you're in so you can create more safety in your body, to feel more grounded and connected with yourself and others, I've created a free quiz that allows you to discover your current state right now and receive a practice with your results for immediate support. Check out the show notes to grab it. I cannot wait to chat with you next time.